So, again, welcome and happy Sabbath to everybody. We've been having an interesting journey in the book of Acts. We're more than halfway through the book of Acts, and we will be last Sabbath we read from chapter 13 of the book of Acts up to verse 22. So verse 22 said, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." And as mentioned, this was the same criteria used in selecting Abraham. And as the Eternal is not a respecter of persons, that's the same criteria he uses to select all that are his. What is that? He knows they will fulfill his will. Each one of us that are being saved are those he knows will fulfill his will. Those who will be obedient to the faith until our last breath. So people who say they are saved and backslide and are not doing things and think they can lose their salvation, they're not saved, because you cannot lose your salvation. We're not saved by anything by our own power. We're saved by the determined will of Elohim, by his foreknowledge. He looks way into the future. He declares the end from the beginning, right? So he looks way into the future and sees who will be doing his will. He doesn't control them to make them do his will. He looks at their intent. Who will be doing his will? And those that he sees who will be doing his will, he saves. And those whom he saves, he also predestines their inheritance, because he knows they are. So in advance of them being born, he says, well, this one is going to serve me, so I will give him this. He will be a member of my kingdom, and he shall inherit these things. That's the predestination. Some people think the predestination is that he makes them do it. No, he doesn't make them do it. He foresees and he predestines what gifts he will give them, what rewards he will give them. So who are being saved? Those whom he knows will fulfill all his will. So don't be deceived or confused by the questions going around, or can you lose your salvation? You cannot lose your salvation once you're saved. The question is, are we saved? That's why Paul says, make your salvation sure, okay? Because Elohim is the one who will do the saving. So a man that will fulfill, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Verse 23, of this man's seed hath Elohim, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, the anointed Savior, Yeshua. A Savior, Yeshua. Verse 24, when John, Yochanan, had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fears Elohim, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. Verse 29, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But Elohim raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, Elohim hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Yeshua again. As it is written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said to on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of Elohim, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. Verse 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Okay, we'll stop here and review what we've read so far, and if time permits, we'll go beyond as we're trying to go conclude with the book of Acts, but there's so much to learn from it. So back to verse 23, of this man's seed. So from David's seed, Elohim, according to his promise. So it's not because so much of David, but of a promise made to who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are the three ones to whom the promise was made. Every other person, the descendants and all of that, are being blessed because of the promise made to these three, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And David, his seed, because he was a man that would fulfill the will of Elohim, just like Abraham. So these are the major stopping points. Through many, many generations, after comes David. And David was a man, despite his faults, he was not living according to his own appetite. Yes, he would sin, unfortunately, but he did not make excuses for his sins. Once he understood he sinned, he was remorseful and he took immediate action to repent. He did not linger in his sin. Okay, so those are some of the characteristics of a person, that the type of people that are being saved. Those that don't linger in their sins, don't make excuses for their sins, that acknowledge their sins as he does poignantly and recorded for us in Psalms 51, right? So one way to make our salvation sure is to make sure we don't linger in sin. Once it's brought into our attention, we must turn from it immediately. And we must pray to Elohim, just as David did. David did not rely on his own strength to turn from sin. He recognized his sin. His heart was broken by his sin, as again, Psalms 51. But then he cried out to Elohim, take not your spirit from me. Because not by might nor by power, but by his spirit, says the Eternal. That's how we overcome, not by our own abilities. He looks in our inward parts. He looks at our hearts and sees, what do we really want? Do we really want to stay in sin? Or does our heart show we really are tired of sin and want to do what's right? If our hearts register that we want to do what's right, his spirit will enable us. So of this man's seed hath Elohim, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Yeshua. Okay? Of this man's seed. So from his line. So Judah was a large, fairly large tribe, group of people. But it was narrowed down. Specifically through the seed of David. Forget all the other Judeans. People got to understand that. Judah is special because in the sense that David would be born of Judah. And David is special because Messiah would come through him. And we know that that did not happen through Joseph, but it was through Miriam, through Maria, through Mary that Yeshua came. Joseph had nothing to do with it. In that regards, other than being a loving, caring guardian for Messiah in his childhood. But the seed came from David through Mary. So when John had first preached, so he started to preach. Notice the language. He first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance. And we know Messiah was already born. But the coming here is in the sense of when he started preaching. Repent. For the kingdom of Elohim is at hand. So because obviously John and Messiah and Yeshua were just a few months apart in age. John was a few months older. So his coming, the baptism of repentance. You are immersed in repentance. You are surrounded with repentance. You are engulfed in repentance. Those who they heard, when they heard the words of John, they were engulfed. They were swallowed up in the sense of repentance and remorse. They repented. And they repented and were made ready to hear the word of the anointed one of the Messiah. And John fulfilled. So he fulfilled. And then when John was about to go, he said, who do you think that I am? Who do you think that I am? He says, I am not he. I'm not Messiah. But he that is coming, I'm not worthy to loose his shoes. I've been worthy. And he said this before Messiah officially started his ministry, right? But then look how strong his words were. But yet we know later on, John didn't even still did not fully know who Messiah was. Wasn't that sure. But he was learning. And he was not speaking anything that he did not know. He only spoke of things that he absolutely knew. He did not speak of things that he believed, that he thought maybe. No, he spoke according to faith. The things he knew in absolute, he spoke of. But the things he wasn't sure of, he kept silent. And when the time was right, he inquired. As we know, when he was in prison, he didn't go in and say, oh, this is the one, this. No. He said, are you? And that was okay because he generally wasn't sure. And we are to learn from this. Because as we were last night, we had a nice time in our prayer time. And one of the things reflected in our prayer is how division is created about things that no one is really sure about. No one can really prove from the scriptures or in reality or in the world. Or we can't really prove it. And yet the congregations, the people who should be representing Messiah and being united in him and his love, they're dividing over anything, over how to pronounce words, over appointed times. And Elohim doesn't want us to be divided over these things. He doesn't. He wants us to be unified and look at the things that we actually know. Look at the things that we actually know and be united in the things that we actually know. And as we said in the prayer last night, and the things that we don't know, we hold hands together and we pray about and admit that we don't really know. We're not that sure. We can't prove it. So why should we divide over things we can't prove? Okay, let's not be deceived. Let's be instruments of light. Let's be instruments that draw people together. Let's find those who are agreeing about things that we actually know. So John said, who am I? Who do you think I am? I am not he. He was sure about that. And he was sure that the one coming after him, he was not worthy to lose his shoes. And so the apostle continues, men and brethren, children of the stock of Israel. So men, so people in general, brethren, those that are close to you, children of the stock of the family of Abraham, and whosoever among you fears Elohim. There's all these. So when we interact with the righteous, so to say, you will find this variety of levels among people in general. But all are seeking, most that fit this description are seeking after righteousness. It doesn't mean that all of the people that are there meet this description, but those are the ones that the apostle is addressing. He's not addressing the scoffers, even though scoffers may be there. They have no interest in casting their pearls before swine, but we could only control so much. We can't keep silent just because there may be scoffers and wicked people around. When we don't have a choice, we have to speak even when the wicked are around. But when we can, we should do our best not to speak the word of Elohim in the presence of the wicked. You will see that throughout the scriptures. In the Protestant circles and other circles, we're taught to just throw the word everywhere. No, we don't do that. Yeshua said, do not cast your pearl before swine. Among us, you may find different levels, but we're all seeking to do what's right. Some may have more experience than others, but no one can boast of anything, because the opportunity to have experience is given by Elohim, and the experience given is by Elohim. The knowledge given is by Elohim. And the one who came later, has less experience, can have the same experience and may even excel. The one who has more experience. So there's no room for boasting, but room for thanksgiving and humility, and to ask Elohim, teach us all, teach us all. So to you is the word of this salvation sent. It's not sent to the scoffer. If the scoffer hears it, it's according to Elohim's will, not because we purposely intend to send the word of Elohim to the scoffers. No, we're sending it to those who are righteous, who are seeking. Isn't that what the Spirit seeks after? Isn't that what we read in Proverbs chapter 18, I believe, and elsewhere? The Spirit seeks where to find the sons, the children of righteousness and wisdom. And that's what we seek, after. To use the word of this salvation sent. Salvation, again, as we understand, salvation is to look in a pile of junk, so to say, and to look into that pile of junk and see what of it has value to take out of the pile of junk. Remember the parable of the kingdom? That the kingdom of heaven is like a net that is set and catches all sorts of water creatures. And when the net is full, the net is pulled. And then the angels sit and they take one. Take what's good, throw what's out. Take what's good, throw what's out. That is salvation. And this world, this present evil age, is being salvaged. The world itself, this present world, will not be saved. Only those in it who want to be saved out of it will be saved from it. That's why Yeshua again said, you are in this world, you are not of it. I have prayed that you should keep them from this world, even though they're in it. So let's try to move on. For they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the words of the prophets. So here again we see the rulers and the people, they of Jerusalem and their rulers, did not know him. So what did they not know? They did not know him. They did not recognize the Messiah, nor did they know the voices of the prophets, which were read every Sabbath. Every Sabbath, they hear it, but they could not understand it. Do you know why? Those who could not understand it is because their hearts were not seeking after the things of Elohim, but their own. But those that were seeking Elohim's will, when the truth came, Messiah made, the Spirit made the truth known to him. Again, remember Philip, after he found Messiah, he ran to find another and said, we have found the one we were what? Looking for or anticipating. So their hearts were right. But these rulers and the others, their hearts weren't right. And so they did not understand the scriptures that they heard every Sabbath day. Let that never happen to us. Let us make sure that every Sabbath counts. Every day counts. But especially the Sabbath, make it count. Read about what you should be doing on the Sabbath and let it be done through you. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desired they of Pilate that he should be slain. They found no fault. It's to show you how great transgressors of the law they were. They found no fault in him, yet contrary to the law, they had him killed. My daughter and I, we used to hear a song, Judas, Judas, thou hast broken the law. It's an ancient song. Ancient song from the ancient believers. It says, Judas, Judas, thou hast broken the law. And it talks and it goes through all the scenarios of how he planned and how to have the Messiah killed, contrary to the law. So contrary to the law, they had him killed. And so we see they fulfilled what was written. They didn't understand what was written. And so doing, they fulfilled it. They did the things that the scripture said, that he would be killed by wicked hands. And unbeknownst to them, they were the wicked hands that kill him. And they laid him in a tomb. And Elohim raised him from the dead. Raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem and are his witnesses unto the people. And he was seen many days of him which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem who are the witnesses unto the people. So they are witnesses. Again, no one should call themselves witness. Anyone who calls themselves a witness today, I'm sorry, they're unknowingly, I'm sorry to say, they're lying. Unknowingly, they're lying. Because you have to have seen something to be a witness of it. And that's how Elohim lays people in falsehood in slippery places. They will do certain things that will make their falsehood so obvious. Because you cannot be a witness to something you haven't seen. Scripturally speaking. So they are the witnesses. Who? The 12 apostles and those 120 and 500 others or more so who were with him when he was on earth up until his resurrection. And we declare unto you glad tidings how that promise which was made unto the fathers, Elohim hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children. So a promise was made to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and was fulfilled to them, their children, the children of Israel, and the children of all who are what? Who are the children? Verse 26, men, brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fears Elohim. These are the children. Remember, that's whom he is addressing. Have fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Yeshua again, as it is also written. And he goes through the Psalms and so on. This second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Verse 34, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Stop here a little. The sure mercies of David, we have to look at that. That's when he makes a covenant with David. He says that he would be the ruler, that his seed would rule over, of his seed would rule over Jerusalem. Not everyone from his seed qualified, but whoever would be a king would be of his seed over Jerusalem. And he said to him that when you sin, he would not destroy them or cast them away, but that they would be chastised. That is not according to the law. You understand that, right? That is a different covenant he made with David, a covenant of salt. That's why it's called, I will give you the sure mercies of David. It's something separate. It's not of the law. Because David literally gave his life almost every day for this cause of Elohim and the cause of his people. And Elohim is just. He's not going to reject this of David giving his life for the cause of Elohim. So Elohim is wise and just. So he makes this covenant with David. I have found my servant David with my holy oil anointed, a man after my own heart. And for us of the new covenant, that's the new covenant. It's not according to the law. And that's why people don't understand. I will give you the sure mercies of David. People get stuck in the law and don't see the freedom of the Spirit. The law was given because of sin. Okay? The law was not given because of our righteousness. It was given because of sin, because of transgressors, because of perjurers, because of liars and adulterers. But those who are righteous need no law, because they do all things out of wisdom and love and faith, not law. I hope we understand that. The law is for the one who needs to repent. But to the one who has repented, what law is there? Not only do we keep the law, but we excel the law because we keep it by the mind and our spirit also. We don't just not steal. We don't think of stealing. We don't just don't commit fornication or adultery. We don't even think of it. And if it comes to our minds, we cast it out. But the sure mercies of David is that when you sin, there's no condemnation because he will forgive you. Why will he forgive you? Because he has seen in your hearts of those, he has foreseen in the hearts of those whom he has saved, in the hearts of those he will give the sure mercies of David, people that really want to do what's right. They may sin, but they really don't want to sin. And they will do all they can to repent. Those are the types of people that Elohim sees. So we're like, we could say handicapped. And he sees that we're like people who want to do what's right, but we are morally, we are righteously handicapped. We are not morally or righteously depraved. There's a difference. So he sees our desire to do what's good, but we have we don't have that ability. So he has mercy on us. So that when we do what's wrong, he knows our hearts. And so he gives us the sure mercies of David. But he knows the hearts of the wicked who will try to take advantage of his grace. Oh, he'll forgive me, so I'll just go out and do all it. No, that's presumptuous. And presumptuous as the sin of witchcraft in his sight. We should never, the righteous will never presume and never try to take advantage of the grace of the mercies of Elohim. So I'll give him the sure mercy of David, which is rather than destroying you, I will chastise you. He will chastise these even to the point of death, as we see in the book of Corinthians, that when there was this sinful person doing sin that even the Gentiles don't do, his flesh will be destroyed so that what? His soul would be saved. We have to understand that. We cannot live. This is a new covenant. It's different than the law. The law was you sin, you die. Certain sins, you died. You broke the Sabbath, you died. You committed adultery, you died. There was no forgiveness for those things in the law at all. So this is why I'm amazed when there are people that are so confused about things and they're trying to proclaim the law. Do they understand what they're talking about? When forbid you have a son, a child who curses father and mother, that child has to die according to the law. And guess whose hands will be upon that child first? Guess whose hand will put the child, will start putting the child to death first? Do you know what the law says? You will be the one to actually start it. So we have to understand the law was given so we, that severe law was given so that people could turn from sin. Because the hearts of men were so animalistic, so beast-like, so cruel. All you need to do is read ancient history and you'll see that. But the word of the Messiah over the years have given people a more peaceful mindset. It wasn't like that long time ago. People were like animals devouring each other without mercy. Now, even some of the most sinful people have a sense of mercy and gentleness about them. And they don't understand. That has come through the grace of the word of the Messiah Yeshua, through the doctrine, through the preaching of the word of salvation. That's why civilization is the way it is today. And we need to say, thank you, Father, that the world is not as cruel as it used to be. When one day, all instruments of war and evil will be history and will be even forgotten. Let me try to move on and finish. I'll try to finish here. So wherefore, verse 35, wherefore he saith also in David, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. He's giving more proofs to show what was written concerning now the resurrection. And he contrasts David with that reality. David who made that prophecy because David, after he had served his own generation by the will of Elohim, fell on asleep and was laid unto his father and saw corruption. So he's making this, showing you that David was not speaking of himself, but speaking of another. And that other was the Yahushua, the anointed Savior. Verse 37 will end it. But he whom Elohim raised again saw no corruption. 3 days and three nights in a tomb, in the spring season, in a dark place, no light, no sunlight. He saw no corruption. I don't know these things too well, but can correct me if I'm wrong. When a person dies, by the second or third day, the corruption starts really already. The blood congeals and so on. None of that happened to Messiah. None of it. Death did not touch his body in that way at all. So he saw no corruption. So dear brethren, we'll stop here. So let's keep in mind just a brief summary. Elohim saves those whom he sees will do his will. We are to understand of the sure mercy of David that we are saved in such a way, and we'll see that next Sabbath more, that we have forgiveness of things that the law provided no forgiveness for. And in Messiah, once we are saved because he knows the condition of our hearts, there is no condemnation for those who are in Messiah Yeshua. Who are those in Messiah Yeshua? Who have repented of their sins from their hearts. They have no condemnation because he's judging them by their hearts, not by their works. Thank you, Emmet.